That's so dumb. Don't trust Goodyear. That's what it should say.
It's pretty much true. Don't trust Goodyear at all.
Never.
That's right.
Speaking of Goodyear, comes naturally, we are...
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Joining us today for the very first time in the years...
Is it the first time?
It's the second, but that's
second.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been on the show before?
Yes.
I have, when we shot at Ken's.
Ken's, that's right, yeah. Christ. Second time. First time in the studio. Correct. Second time on the show. Welcome back.
Matt.
There you go. Forgot to tell him he has to say his own name. I don't introduce shit on this show.
Nope. No show prep either.
No.
Nope.
Nope. Comes at you. That's where the name came from. And the fact that Mike has a problem with pre-drip. A little insight.
Not so much a problem if
well, you're okay
with it. It's only a problem for his wife.
Seems not to be a problem for her either, which is odd. But, I mean, you know, to each their own. So last week, you and I,
Sicky
McSick Pants,
because I was sick.
By the way, did you listen to last week's episode?
No, I haven't gotten around to it.
You might not want to.
You might not want to. So I didn't tell you obviously, it was the weekend before I got sick and didn't come here. I was at work.
Two episodes ago.
And
the aptly name.
Daphne comes up to me and goes, So, I like the new episode. I was going to listen to it, but then I thought, nah, because, you know, somebody named it Joe Masturbates to Asteroids.
I think it was the peak of our broadcasting careers.
Oh, God.
I don't think we should. We really should have retired.
We should have just called it up, called it quits at that point.
Is that an accurate representation of what actually happens?
No, not at all. But of course,
I mean, he talks about asteroids.
It's not just asteroids.
It was literally like the last, like we were about to end the show and stuff. We're just going over. Oh, do you have any other news? And I was like, oh, you know, the Japanese are landed a new rover on an asteroid. I couldn't remember the name of it. It's the Hayabusa 2. And then
sure
Cody just went off on how Joe's just like, you know, like jerking it to asteroid pictures and stuff. I'm like,
and video. I said video too.
And to take partial of the plan, I was like, we should really name this episode "Joe Masturbates to Asteroids."
And so it got named that.
And so
that's how a lot of the names end up happening for the episodes.
It's usually coming in the last like 5 minutes of the episode. Yeah. Something gross happens.
something stupid happens. Someone says something like, "That's the name of the episode," and that one just happens to be "Joe Masturbates to Asteroids." But the reason I say it, you may not want to listen to, and if you do listen to next week's episode or last week's episode, listen all the way through because we do make amends at the end.
Yeah,
do you though?
The mean things that are said early in the podcast are made up for later in the podcast.
But it's because like we have the guilty conscience. It's the first 20 minutes. Mike is just. He's feeling powerful. Hold on.
This motherfucker.
Hold on.
Is
I'm
trying to
there.
Pass the buck all on
no,
me.
Hold on. I'm getting there. He is in the fancy chair.
Yes.
So he feels all high and mighty.
Uh-huh.
So he starts to talk shit about you. Then me, I ramp it up to like 1,000.
Of course.
And because that's what happens.
Yeah.
And it plateaus at like the worst things possible. We don't really call you Hitler or anything like that, but like,
goddamn.
We dodge it. Like, we're like, oh, he's like, no, it's not that bad, you know? And then at the end, like, nah, we're just kidding. Joe's a pretty decent guy as long as you know him. And then, you know, we kind of give you some props, but we still call you Sicky McSick Pants.
A lot of shit talk early, though.
A lot of shit talk early. So if you do
something about
to
that
it,
chair,
jump forward like 40 minutes, we may be done with it by that point.
Oh, okay.
Then there's only another, like,
I'm
hour
good that
show.
You can get so much show out of just shitting on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. You weren't here, so you weren't here to defend yourself, so.
It should probably be a once a month episode, like every.
Oh, like I stay home and you guys just, like.
Yeah,
shit on
I mean,
me
once
a
you still hang out with us, but when it's time to record, we should get.
Off like, you get.
That one
home.
Joe
well,
shit talk
okay, I'm
episode.
I'm going to go get groceries, guys. You can go ahead and just, like, shit talk me for the next hour.
The roast of Joe
but,
Carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not here.
What we
ghost
did
roast.
Talk about
ghost roast.
Ghost roast.
Oh, ghost roast.
Yeah. What we did talk about last week is what we promised the previous week is our quick little breakdown of the movies Venom and Bad Times at the El Royale. And so we got to get your thoughts on it. And have you seen either two of them yet?
I have not seen Venom.
But you seen
I
Bad
did
Times?
See Bad Times. Okay. At the
perfect.
El
so we could talk about both of those ones. But Joe, start with Venom since he can't really speak on it.
Venom was a good movie. It really was. It does have, like, some, I don't know, some weaknesses in it here and there just for, like, one of the closing battle where you get the two symbiotes fighting each other, you kind of get a little confused when they're like mashed up to each other. Like I honestly, during that scene, I didn't realize that they molded into each other. When one of them just disappeared, I was like, "Where the fuck did he go?" And then the engine of the rocket blasts off, and they split into two. And then I was like, "Oh, I see it now." That was just really weird and confusing.
Yeah, it's because they chose like two colors that were too similar.
One was
a dark blue, and the other one was the black. You're like, yeah. You guys couldn't have done the yellow one?
Yeah, but Carnage is coming, so that one would be easier to decipher.
Yeah.
The fight took place at night.
Did Curtis Cassidy make an appearance?
Yes, he did.
It was a post-credit scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Woody Harrelson.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Shit.
Creepy as fuck, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, talking about blood splatter.
Oh.
He did it as a favor to Ruben, because he's the one that directed the movie.
Really bad hair. Yeah, which the internet roasted him hard for it, but I'm like, he's supposed to be a crazy fucking serial killer.
Yeah, but the only problem with that I had, because I know
it's a throwback to one of the comics.
But it looked like he was wearing a wig. That's the only thing that I had.
That's because it's Woody Harrelson.
No, but I mean,
Woody Harrelson hasn't had hair since the first episode of Cheers.
He lost in the third, had in the second.
Sorry.
For some reason,
showed up next day.
Looked
back here,
really like a really bad wig.
It was very Storm from X-Men 1,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Mm. I was like, that's not obviously his real hair.
Did he have a fake African accent as well?
No, he just talked like creepy Woody Harrelson Harrelson.
Yeah.
I like to think it's a spiritual sequel to Natural Born Killers. That's what I, because the way he was talking, I was like, oh shit.
I was like, oh, he survived? Because I remember him not surviving.
Herb stomp some people?
Spoiler, I guess, for Natural Born Killers.
Have we never mentioned that show on this podcast before, actually.
That movie? I don't think we have.
Yeah. Interesting. You can do spoilers for a 25-year-old movie, right?
Yeah. I don't know. What's the statute of limitation on that?
In Cody's mind, it's a day.
It's like a
yeah.
How dare you?
Even an hour.
That's closer to... Hey, wait a minute.
The rest of the movie, however, was fun. I enjoyed Tom Hardy in the whole movie.
I bet you did.
He was a little weird and awkward at times, but I think for the character was pretty good. And just him and his interaction with the Venom symbiote was fucking hilarious. Like, I did not think that I would be laughing so much at Venom.
I think that's why people didn't like it.
Is because
they didn't want a comedy.
Because most of those people have never actually read the books enough to know
it felt like a buddy cop movie almost.
Yes,
like that's the banter between the two of them.
That's okay.
Like at one point, I was
surprised.
Okay, but it includes things like, "Ooh, that thing looks delicious. So I want to eat it."
Yeah, and
you're like
at one point, calls him a pussy.
Yeah.
Oh, dude,
because he doesn't want to climb back out because they climb this super tall building. Instead of like going back that way, he takes the elevator and you hear Venom go, "Pussy."
Because Venom tells him, he's all jump. And he like looks all scared, and then the next scene he's in the lobby waiting for a elevator. Pussy. I was like, that's hilarious. So
but in like, Venom's defense, though, if they would have taken the window, they wouldn't have gotten a big old firefight with the SWAT team.
It's true.
This is true. But that was a fun sequence.
Fuck yeah, it was. He messed motherfuckers up.
He grabs a SWAT dude and beats literally, the fuck out of like 20 other SWAT dudes.
He literally grabs a SWAT
him.
Guy and swats them with him.
Yeah.
That's bad.
There's a brief little clip of it online, but the scene is so... And that's another thing I like. The scene itself is so much longer than the clip that you would expect. But like, I've heard people complain. Like Manny was... I was going back and forth with Manny on Facebook because he didn't like Venom. But he was like, I don't like that all the action sequences I saw in the trailers. Yeah, you see part of every action sequence in the trailers. That kind of sucks. But it's a very small fraction of every action sequence.
Right.
Like the bike scene.
The chase scene.
The chase scene was really innovative. Like I thought I was going to be the hokiest, dumbest part of the movie because I didn't like the thing shooting out of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it in the movie and how it interacts with the environment, it's like, okay, it works. And that's a pretty long fucking chase scene with a lot of action. That SWAT fight scene was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. And it was fucking dope. Like, and even the symbiote battle at the end, I was like, they're going at it a lot more than you would think they would at this point. So, yeah, but... Some people complain, like, oh, I saw everything in the trailers. Yeah, you know the settings for everything from the trailers, which kind of sucks, but I still thought it was a lot of fun.
And I like the fact that they kind of explained why, because if you've you probably read the comics,
yeah,
you've never seen Venom make like those giant, you know, arm blades or anything like to kill people. Well, they explain it in the movie as he's kind of the loser of the symbiotes,
yeah,
and that's why he likes Eddie so much, because Eddie's kind of a loser himself.
Yeah, because his whole life's in shambles in the movie.
Yeah,
he fucks up, and
he's like E.T. He gets left behind.
Yeah,
he's like Kleborp.
Kleborp. Oh, here comes Kleborp again
with one glowing finger.
Yeah. It's a Robot Chicken sketch, if you didn't know. But yeah, no, I mean it's pretty good. Fun time. Enjoyable, especially, and that's the problem. And I'll say problem. There's no problem with that movie and making that movie. Is you're not going to satisfy the hardcore people who think they're hardcore Venom fans, and you're not going to appease the masses. Mm-hmm. But you're going to make everybody who's like a casual fan or like a really really big fan of Venom very happy.
I just wish they would have.
But
been
that
able
group
to go,
is very small.
I just wish they would have been able to go rated R.
Yeah.
On it,
yeah, and
because there's
that's
a lot
the
more
thing.
Stuff that happen off screen. I shouldn't say a lot more stuff, but there's some stuff that happens off screen that you just like it's kind of disturbing to say, but I kind of would have wanted to see it. Like when he eats that one dude, like, you see it in the trailers.
Yeah,
you know they play out the rest of that sequence, but they cut away before he eats him, and it's just like it would have been.
Cody and I were talking about that last week, where I felt. I would rather them go rated R, obviously, but the fact that they went PG-13, I don't feel like they sacrificed a whole lot. And because it was PG-13, it made enough money where it's probably gonna
get a sequel,
green light the sequel. Yeah. So I'd would have rather get two at PG-13 than one at rated R,
because
there's no way it would have beaten was the movie that Bradley Cooper movie, A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born. Oh,
if it was rated R,
which it did do, but.
Yeah.
But it did beat it, which I didn't think it was going to beat it. I was so happy it beat it.
Because it beat out the fucking First Man and Star Is Born.
So it...
And it took its...
It tracked better than it was projected to.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get greenlit. And because I feel like a lot of people...
they're almost there. They're issues. $385 million. They need 400... 400 to 450 projected.
Yeah, that was the number that they're like, you give me 400, we'll give you a sequel.
Because you need to pay for the first movie and pay for the second movie.
Yeah. Right. And so they already locked in. They have Woody Harrelson locked in for it, and they have the cameo at the end.
Right.
So the main cast is already locked in. They're just waiting for the money.
With a couple of countries that hasn't hit some of the
that hasn't hit
China has not hit. Yet.
I don't think it's. So, is it, does it get China?
Yeah, it just got released. It
didn't get China. Then it'll fucking it'll be fine. But yeah, because of that, because I feel like the action was still cool. Yeah, it would have been cool to actually literally see Venom bite the head off of somebody and have it be gruesome and fucked up. But I'll sacrifice that moment to make sure I get Venom versus Carnage in the second one. And then this second one will have a lot more of Venom in it. Because this one...
November 9th for China. For all our Chinese listeners, which we do have. So.
Yeah. Oh, nice. So the this movie, you only get Venom till like halfway through the movie.
Full Venom?
Yeah.
So you go through a big chunk without getting full Venom, but I you see enough of the stuff happening where it's like cool and it's kind of gearing up towards it.
Yeah.
But this one, the next one, you're obviously gonna have Venom the whole time.
Yeah.
And Carnage, I just think it's gonna be super dope.
Yeah.
What I think you're gonna like about the movie is the like we said the dialogue between the two of them. Which, since that's a thing, I can't wait for the dialogue between Carnage and Woody Harrelson's character. You know what I mean? Because it's going to be a whole nother twisted dynamic to it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's gonna be fun. So I really hope that happens.
Right, because Venom has, like, rules. It's like, yeah, we can kill people, but we have to follow
it's
bad, these
and it's like Eddie. Yeah. They move it in the movie where it's Eddie Brock. It's like, yo, we get along, but this is the... And they even say it. We have rules.
Yeah.
We can only eat bad people.
Yeah.
You know, and but that's how they're gonna survive.
Yeah.
And so it's this cool little anti-hero thing, which happens. That's another thing I saw someone complain, like, Venom is a bad guy, and he should only be a bad guy. I was like, well, you only read one Venom book, or you only watched the Spider-Man cartoon
where he was a villain.
Yeah, where he was a straight villain, nothing else. There's a whole, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but that whole run where Venom and Spider-Man basically make an agreement that I'm gonna move out to San Francisco and be that's, less of a bad guy and be kind of
what this is based
and that's
off of.
That's why they're in San like, Fran in this movie.
Lethal Protector.
Yeah.
So that whole run, it's kind of this, like it's pieces of that where it's like, yeah, we have rules, we have code, but this is what we're, it's a cool anti-hero thing. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's still a monster that eats people though.
Yeah.
So it's dope. Mm-hmm. And without a world right now where we don't know for sure if there's a Spider-Man that exists, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're across the country.
Really? And right. You're doing your own thing. It works really well without having Spider-Man.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. You don't miss him at all, honestly.
Huh.
I don't think they should ever bring Spider-Man into it. I'm of the belief that these comic movies should have their cool own standalone worlds. Like, give me three
this
movies.
This is a very good what if.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or single shots. You know, like we talk about single shots all the time. But comic book movies seem to be scared and they think that Marvel is the only blueprint that can be successful where everything has to link together and there has to have a big accumulation at the end. That doesn't have to be. We could have a Venom movie over here.
Right.
You know, we could have that new Batman or that new Joker movie just exist in this weird fucking world where Joker's just a serial killer fucking shit up. I'm okay with that. I like these characters. There's thousands of books for people to draw inspiration from for these things that will excite people. Like, even weird little hidden ones that aren't massively loved by everybody could be fun things to try to make, you know, live action property from. But
yeah,
it's fun.
Speaking of fun, Bad Times at El Royale.
Yeah.
Since you've seen it and you've seen it, let's hear your thoughts, kids.
It was a very good movie. I didn't expect it to be that good of a movie. Honestly, going into it, though, I didn't really know what to expect of it. It has a very good trailer where it shows you a lot of stuff, but tells you absolutely nothing about what's going
on.
True.
You know it takes place at a hotel.
You know it takes place at a hotel. You know that Chris Helmsworth is in it. You know...
shirtless.
Whatever his
Jeff
balls
Bridges.
Jeff Bridges is in it. I mean, it's just a cavalcade of a bunch of actors and actresses in the movie. But like I said, the trailer absolutely tells you nothing
about
what's going on. And in fact, they make it even seem like Chris Helmsworth is a lot more in the movie than he actually really is.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a fantastic movie to just sit there and wonder what the fuck is going on. What the hell is this hotel? You know, why is the caretaker slash bellhop slash whatever, you know, why is he so weird? Because one of the first lines that he has is, you know, "Father, you shouldn't be here." And you're like,
"Yeah,
the fuck?"
Right.
Yeah.
Priest got a fuck, too.
It's true.
It's absolutely true.
I don't think they do.
It reminded me of like a couple movies.
I would like to say something, but I'm not going to.
So like Four Rooms, if you guys remember that movie, Antonio Banderas, Madonna, etc., right? How it had those four different vignettes that all come together at the end with the wraparound story. So it was kind of like that, mixed with Identity. The one with, what is it?
John Cusack?
John Cusack, yes.
Yeah.
That was a fucking great movie. It was kind of like
that is a low-key underrated movie.
Oh, totally underrated.
I love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of John Cusack's best
and
later
honestly,
on
honestly, I kind of thought that's where they might be going with the movie, but they didn't, of course. But
I could have thought... You say that. I thought that very much so from like the trailers.
Yeah.
I also thought it was very Four Rooms by the trailers. Like, oh, these are just... These people have very little interaction together, and it's individual stories that happen to be at the same place.
Yeah.
Which it is and it isn't.
It starts out like that.
Yeah. But then obviously, like...
But obviously, because
the
of their
third vignette, it's just like everything's mixed together,
right?
And then you see how it is, and it's fucking amazingly done. It's like a masterclass of someone who loves Quentin Tarantino movies,
yes,
but likes to tell a story in order,
taking it to a different level, though,
And much more of an artsy level as well,
right?
Like Quentin Tarantino,
but artsy without
amazing...
being pretentious.
Oh,
though.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Quentin Tarantino movies are amazingly shot and amazingly made, but he makes them. Because he makes him in a vein of the stuff he loves, like the old style, like kung fu movies and the westerns and things like that. Drew takes it to another level and makes it's this nightmare of a noir tale that's just told in vignettes, but in order, then shows you how they interact. It's fucking, it's amazing. The sound quality is amazing. The soundtrack was amazing. The acting was phenomenal.
Yes.
I thought, anyways, go ahead. You guys are going to talk about it.
One thing that I really liked that stood out about the movie too was how the hotel itself was a character in the movie.
Right? Very much so.
Very much so. Kind of like Cabin in the Woods. The cabin wasn't just a setting. It was also sort of a character in the movie, right? So they did the same thing with this.
It was like the puppet master.
Life of its own, right? Yep. So it was pretty awesome.
And poor Miles had to be the fucking string orchestra guy.
Yeah. But those, Miles pulled it out at the end, man.
Dude.
That was amazing. A surprise for me. I didn't know.
Ooh, when he kicked that kid's first rifle.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He went straight action movie on us.
That's that kid's first movie. What? He's never made anything else.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, he was great.
I can't find anything else about this kid except for like spots in like TV show and stuff like that.
No, I thought he did a great job in that movie.
Oddly enough,
yeah.
That's the role Tom Holland turned down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could see it, though.
Because it was conflicted with him filming other stuff.
Right.
That's weird. Also why Chris Hemsworth was only in certain scenes where he should have been in more scenes, but they had a body double for like a couple of scenes where he wasn't there for filming of it. I read that online.
I think that's probably another part of the writing and direction that I really enjoyed is how everybody, even though they had these fake personas when they were interacting with each other during the first part of the movie, there were little bits of truth that got let out here and there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, Jeff Bridges letting on that he had Alzheimer's or whatever, and, you know, that sort of thing. Or the, you know, the bellhop Miles, like, he had, like, you know, other issues that he didn't want to let on and stuff. So it was pretty cool that they were all guarded, but they let little pieces of themselves slip through, and it showed in their performances.
Yeah, because when the three of us saw it, we saw a preview screening, so there was a question and answer streamed afterwards.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like how I think Jeff Bridges said it. His character wears a mask from the robbery, but how all the characters are wearing their own masks because of the identities they've taken on.
Right.
And it's emphasized greatly, and this is not what they said, this is what I'm thinking, is emphasized greatly with John Hamm's character because he plays that obnoxious, borderline racist vacuum salesman. And then you find out he's like this like guardian angel CIA guy who if he didn't not listen to his superiors,
right,
things would have changed drastically for everybody.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Cuz he wouldn't have got blasted, which means none of that wouldn't have happened, and like it just would have been a whole different thing. But he needed to be the good guy, and instead of just, you know, trying to figure it out, he just went in and, you know, unfortunately guns a-blazing in the wrong direction. And
yeah. That was basically the catalyst that set off all the events in the second half of the movie.
It's literally someone just kicked over dominoes with a shotgun.
Which is weird, too, because he's doing, from anyone's point of view, he's doing the right thing.
Yep.
Right.
And he just sees this young girl tied up and trapped in this room, you know what I mean? So, not knowing that she's just trying to get her clean and fucking clear-headed to get away from the crazy guy. That's the real fucked up part, is they think he's a bad guy, but like from her point of view, she's got to understand she's got a bitch tied up in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, right?
It looks bad.
Yeah, it does look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I walked out of that movie and I think Jeff Bridges needs an Oscar for that performance.
For sure.
Yeah, he's amazing in that movie. Yeah.
That, especially the scene where he's explaining the Alzheimer's. They're sitting in the car and he's like, you know, just trying to remember. You can see like it almost is like he's physically trying to remember stuff.
Yeah.
Or the scene at the end where Chris Hemsworth's character is like, you know, what's your real... No, I was gonna
that's what I say every time I reference him.
Is trying to, you know, saying, you know, what's your real name, and he's like, he has this like
and you can, and then tell
he looks over at her, what
that scene. Yeah.
He has that look on his face, like I legitimately can't fucking
remember. Yeah, when he leans in to the girl and asks, did I tell you my real name? Oh, jeez, and his eyes are welling up, but he's not crying.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, God damn it, this guy can act his ass off.
He doesn't give a fuck about the guy with the crazy guy with the gun. He's like, I literally am forgetting me.
Right.
And this is bothering me. I was like,
That's what they say about like Alzheimer's, right? It's like being trapped in your own body or whatever.
Trapped in someone else's body.
But it's so weird. Like, you know he doesn't have it, but the way that he's able to portray it and you're able to see it on his face.
Right. Great actor.
Great, phenomenal actor. To add on top of that, I want to see Chris Hemsworth do more roles like this.
Yeah.
It was creepy and fun and psychotic.
And you can see he was having fun with it, too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like,
oh,
this dude.
Well, he gets, we were talking about this last week. He gets to flex a muscle that a lot of people haven't seen him do yet. Because most people have only seen him as Thor. Even though he's done other stuff, and he's done good stuff.
He's done that race car movie. He did that whale fucking movie. He did that.
No, he didn't fuck a whale.
Did he fuck him in the blowhole?
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't fuck any whales.
I think I said
Tom Holland fucked a whale in that movie.
Oh, he helped. He told him how to fuck a whale. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. It's been a while since I watched it. Heart of the Sea is the movie.
That's a good movie, by the way.
The hole with blubber?
No, he uses the webs.
Oh, got it.
He's like, stretch the web, surf it out. He's like, I fucked it before. I'll fuck it again.
And then after he comes, he's like, I don't feel so good.
Also,
comes crumbles to dust.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, wrong movie. Anyways, he didn't fuck a whale. That was a joke. It fucked up a whale.
Yeah.
But also got fucked up by a whale. Anywho.
I say it every time that movie gets... That's a really good movie. For anybody that hasn't seen it, you should see it. It's good, man.
Maybe we can also get your opinion on what that film was.
Who do you think was on it?
Who do you think was on that
film? We know it's a sex film, because they mention it.
You know what? I honestly think it's a MacGuffin. It's like the case in Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, but who you think? Like, because they hints. Okay. They say, oh, if what was it?
I have two guesses.
It would make a difference if he was still alive or something like that.
Yeah. I have two guesses.
Okay.
JFK.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Elvis. That's what we all think.
Elvis.
This was 76, and Elvis died in what, 74 or something?
It's true. It could be.
Didn't even think of Elvis.
So it was one of the two is what I was thinking.
And he's
those are the obvious choices, right?
Yeah.
Kennedy is what we all said.
Kennedy would have more of an impact. Elvis would be more, like, I wouldn't say shocking, but
Kennedy,
like,
you'd have that, because you know Kennedy fucked around.
Yeah.
What?
And
how dare you, sir?
And the bellhop guy referenced that he was nice to me. Nobody else has been nice to me. Yeah. It's like, I could kind of see JFK being that guy that would have been nice. But Elvis is a cool theory, too.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun theory, because you know Elvis is doing crazy rock star shit.
But at the same time, like you said, he was the only person to be nice to me. You could see Elvis being like, hey, man.
Fuck, that's fun. I like that idea.
Damn it, you keep karate chopping that thing, and it's bugging me.
I hope someday the guy just tweets out, hey, it was JFK.
Yeah.
Just
hey, guys. It was JFK.
It was that fuck that owned McDonald's.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton?
No, the other one.
Oh.
The one not from the movie.
Oh, Nick Offerman. Yep. I gotcha.
Nick Offerman used to own McDonald's.
Founder.
Because the movie The Founder.
Low key, nobody realized that was Nick Offerman in that movie, too.
Oh, in the first scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Robin the Bank.
I was so confused about what that was.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this is Nick Offerman. What the fuck is he doing right now?
And what was crazy is I didn't know he was in the movie at all. Because he's not advertised, I don't think, anywhere.
No, he's not trailer. He's advertised.
Yeah.
No.
When we saw it, I don't know about you, because it was for the Alamo Draft House, he did the intro of, like, don't talk during the movie, Silence is Golden, whatever, right?
Funny little video.
Yeah, like, funny in the beginning. I was like, oh, that's cool. Alamo Draft House has Nick Offerman doing it, because, he's kind of like a cool, hip guy to have do things. And then, like, I see the movie, I'm like, that's weird, that dude looks like Nick Offerman.
But it's a weird, still long shot, so you're like...
And he's
Nick
never
Offerman,
yes.
right?
That's yeah, so I'm like, oh, yeah. okay. And then during the robbery scene, like
he's
they
got
show
that
him, I was like,
fucking mask on the whole time.
I was like, oh, okay, that is Nick Offerman. That's cool. Then I was like, was that intro
for the movie?
For the movie? I was like, that's weird. Did you see it before the movie too? Was
I
Nick
didn't
Offerman?
See that intro?
Okay, so it must have just been out on the draft. Yeah.
But it's kind of like, so I went back and watched Sin City a couple years ago, and Nick Offerman's in that, right? Yeah. I mean, he's unrecognizable, but he's in there, right? With the blonde hair and the tank top or whatever.
Yeah.
And fuck? No mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's the thing that throws me.
All right, Alex Trebek with a mustache.
Mustache and beard, and you're like, that's not Nick.
You're not Ron Swanson. You're not
Ron Selleck without a mustache.
Yeah. It's like you grow that back. Selleck. Yeah, it's like Alex Trebek. I'm like, I don't believe any answers you give me, right or wrong, because you don't have the mustache, so you're not correct. I know you're reading off a card and all, Mr. Trebek. Go sell your life insurance, you piece of shit. Or back reverse mortgage. What the fuck's he
whatever talking?
He's a reverse mortgage.
Reverse mortgage.
Sam Worthington did the
that's right.
Whatever. The life insurance one.
Whichever it was.
The lawyer from Law and Order.
Oh, you're right.
My third favorite Law and Order character.
Dong dong.
It was safer just sitting in the puddle. That's a super
inside comment. Yeah. Inside statement.
Like that's a weird comment. It has no context whatsoever.
Joe's just dripping in his seat over here.
It's safer in the puddle.
Just remember, safer in the puddle.
It's safer in the puddle.
I think we just came up with the title of the episode. It was safer in the puddle.
That's usually how it works, folks.
Inside. I mean, it doesn't have to be inside. If you listen to the show, you figure it out right away. Yeah. We say something like, let's do the episode, and we have to remember at the end, which I probably won't be. Okay, so that was these two fucks talking about movies that we talked about last week.
Real quick, though, where would you rank it, movies you've seen this year so far?
Me, number one.
Yes. I'm trying to think of like all the movies that I saw this year.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be well within the top five.
Well for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say number one. I don't see a lot of movies anyway, so.
Oh,
yeah.
That would help.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's that Joe used to be?
Yeah.
Before we wrangled him into seeing movies.
And it definitely beats like out week. A house with a clock in its wall, so.
We never saw that.
We haven't seen it yet, no.
Yeah, just wait for Redbox.
Ugh, Redbox, Jesus. Yeah, I'm not spending money on Redbox.
Yeah. Go somewhere and pick up physical media.
Yeah.
What are you, Tosh?
Yeah. Five. I was gonna say while you're there, just get some meth. But I mean, the Tosh comment was better. Archer.
Tosh loves Auschwitz. He never listens anyway. So fuck that guy too.
We can talk all the shit we want. He never listens. Even episodes he's on, he doesn't listen to. I'm like, you're a narcissist. You should be listening to those episodes. He doesn't even do that. You can at least fucking download it to get us a fucking download.
I know.
You jerk. Nope.
Yeah, sure.
Prick-ass bastard. Let's see. Any other news to talk about? Man. Because I really feel like we just did last week's episode again.
Did you guys already talk about the potential Palpatine spoiler?
What? I love these. No, we haven't.
So excited.
Yeah.
What's the theory? What's the theory? I don't ever read these things.
Supposedly there was a leak last week where somebody that was on the set saw the script, and there's a scene in episode 9 where Kylo Ren makes his way into some kind of Imperial bunker that was long forgotten about and stumbles across a hologram of Palpatine. And Palpatine is relaying instructions for some kind of ultimate weapon to him.
I'm cool with that.
Okay. So, I thought you were going to say, like, he finds a hologram of, like, how to reanimate him.
I thought evil R2-D2 had a message.
Evil R2-D2?
Yeah.
I don't think it's Palpatine? Actually technically evil R2-D2.
Nope,
I think
it's just black. Another,
okay.
It's...
Whoa. Wow.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yikes. Yikes.
Jin just texted me. She just finished The Shield, and she cried at the last episode.
Right?
I don't know what that means, but apparently it got
her. You been watching The Shield with her?
I can't do dramas, man.
What? The Shield was so good.
And I've watched some of the episodes, and I was like, yeah, it's cool. But like I said, I can't. I'm not
so good, dude.
In a position to be able to watch dramas. Why not? That many of them? It just makes me feel like a shithead, so and I'm so emotionally drained from them.
Yeah.
I don't even like watching dramatic movies anymore, but at least then I know I'm done in 2 hours. I don't know, I have to keep watching for six seasons.
The Shield was one of the first times where I watched a show and felt dirty for rooting for like the good guy. Like,
yeah, so is Vic a bad guy or a good guy?
He's yes. So much a bad guy. Especially by the end, he's a fucking terrible human being. He is only out there to protect himself, and it ends up taking the whole team down. And a lot of the team gets killed.
Well, the one shithead started the killing.
Yes, buddy. He does start it, and
I know this much about The Shield.
Because you're talking about what's his name's character from
the Tarantino Justified. Movies and Justify.
I can't remember his name. But he,
just say the name, you dick.
No, I know he's gonna get name. It.
No, because he's not gonna say it.
You know that. He's gonna get it. I'm believing him.
Cody never helps out.
Cody's a selfish dick.
I'm trying to help you out. Remember, get your fucking brain dick. Working.
No, yes, he starts things out. It's been a while since I've watched the show, but it's kind of agreed on his side because they come into that money from the Armenians.
Too. Who,
if I recall right,
the customer, the guy, the character, the actor they're talking about is also in Predators.
But everything that Vic does is only for his own good. You realize that by the last season. Even if it does end up being good for the rest of his team and for all some of the other characters and his quote unquote friends, it's only good because he says it's good for them, but it's only ever good for him. That's it. And by the end of the show, the rest of the team has either been killed, or taken into custody, or is on the run, and Vic is the only one that at least had the wherewithal to get out of jail free card, essentially.
Yeah.
And he survives, and at the last episode, you're just like, this guy is a fucking piece of shit.
Nice.
Well, doesn't that sound a lot like the character arc of, like, Walter White, too? I mean, the same kind of thing?
Yes, but this came out before any of those shows. To me, really? This is one of the first shows that actually had that type of character arc to it, where in the small run, you look at it and like that's a good thing that they're doing, but in the larger run, they're complete assholes and awful people.
See, I watched through bits and pieces, like I did with The Shield. I watched Breaking Bad as Jin was watching it, so I'd come in. I'm like, I know enough to kind of have an idea of what's going on. I always got the vibe, and this is again watching bits and pieces from every couple episodes, that Walter White went like root for him. Total piece of shit, and then he kind of evened out and was like, yeah, I fucked up, but I'm trying to make everything right there at the end.
But that's only getting bits and pieces. You're still getting that you're thinking that he's doing good for other people.
No, right? Good for him. I know it was
but it only ends up ever being good for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
he gets Jesse out of that.
That's kind of what happened near the end of the series, right? When he has that heart-to-heart talk with Skyler or whatever, and he's like, you know what? I did it for me.
Yeah.
Right?
At least he admits it.
He finally admitted it at the end. Yeah.
But Vic, on the other hand,
Vic
dicked the entire time.
Yeah.
You know what happens to people like him? You have to be in fucking Fantastic Four movies. That's what you get, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you have to wear 50 pounds of prosthetics.
You have to wear a big, dumb rubber suit.
Then they give you a shitty-looking watch. When you go to look at it, you can clearly see your rock folding.
And your big, dumb Nike Cortez.
It's clobbering time.
Do you think that they would have done CG for him that you would have liked it better, or is it actually the actor that you didn't like?
No, I thought he was
hot trash.
I thought he could have been good at it.
I'm talking about actors, because if you look at those actors, to me they got the look right,
except for Jessica Alba.
No, I even liked her in it. Like you look at her and you look at Jessica Alba, you look at Sue Storm, and you look at Jessica Alba from the movie, and you're like, yeah, the look is there.
Okay.
I want the blonder hair, more fair skin.
So this is not a race thing at all, but Jessica Alba, I mean, she has that very
that means
Hispanic
it's definitely a race thing.
Look, right?
No, he's allowed to.
Which
he's
when
not white.
You look oh, at, shit. Yeah. So but when you look at the comics, she's a very, very classic white girl. She orders pumpkin spice shit this time of year, right? I mean, that's
Sue Storm, Joe.
Right? And then I just didn't Joe's see that out of Jessica Storm.
What can I say? I like tall blondes as well, so.
But
like Dolph Lundgren.
Gay joke.
But I think that at least the characters wise, they looked the part. They absolutely did.
Because if you see, like, if you read the the Fantastic Four books, Ben, before he's turned into the thing, is a big dude.
Yeah.
So having fucking Vic play him makes sense.
He's already kind of built like him.
Yeah, the real problem with that is he looked way too old to be hanging out with those people in the movie. Like, when he was human, he just looked age-wise too old to be...
I thought the main guy seemed pretty old.
Well, it's because they gave him the gray hair and stuff.
Eon Griffith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stretchy fuck.
I don't know. I'm sorry I brought up Fantastic Four. We had to waste 5 minutes talking about
it. If you look closely, no, I don't think it's in here.
Oh, fuck yourself forever. In that room.
If you look closely, Stealth.
Oh, he brought it up!
Hey! Top of that bookcase.
You guys want to talk about Stealth, huh?
No.
Oh. Speaking of
we need to rewatch
other
it.
Jessicas.
I think we should rewatch it.
Jessica Biel, who I always thought was the best Jessica. Personal opinion.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
It's very true.
Girl.
Oh, man, that rain seemed like, yeah, go ahead and take that blouse off. Dang. Yes, I would like to try them out.
Yeah. Stealth. Jamie Foxx's best movie.
Second best movie.
Finest work.
Finest work,
that's
sorry.
That's the work.
Yeah.
I don't like Joss Lucas, though. I never liked him in anything.
I don't even know.
Was he in anything else?
When you see him, you'll... He was in that Hulk movie, the shitty one.
The only one? He just looks like a douchebag.
Yeah, he's a fucking...
He has one of those faces.
I want to say like, he did a bunch of TV stuff, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was...
Okay.
You see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Fuck Josh.
He was in something else, and too.
A lot of Incubus in that.
It's not even track. Josh. It's Joss?
Josh?
Is it Josh? Or?
No, it's Josh, my bad.
It's Josh, okay. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck isn't that plane.
Doesn't he also? Is he the one that does the? He does commercials. He does over the voiceover for the commercials too, right?
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah, but he does a bunch of them. I think.
Heard that Jessica Biel show is actually pretty good.
Sinner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike that fucking movie she made, where she's like the murderess.
Stealth?
No. Stealth. We know. What? Yeah, Blade Trinity. Trinity, that one. We all know that she's amazing in Stealth. Sorry, it was a very bad time.
You know what her best movie was though? Summer's Catch.
I don't know what that is.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr.'s finest work.
Because it has him and fucking Matthew Lillard. Yeah, way before it was before Scooby Doo, right?
Yeah, it was before the first Scooby Doo. You know, like those guys have been going way back.
What about Seventh Heaven, guys?
Yeah. Isn't that that one where that guy who raped everybody is in that one now?
Well, yeah. I mean the dad one that played turned the priest? Out to be a child molester, but, you know, I mean...
He's a method actor.
That's a little too method, buddy.
Yikes.
I was just getting into the role.
No respect.
Yeah. 20 years from now, they'll look at him with the same respect they do De Niro. Probably not.
I don't think they will.
No, I don't think they will. No. Nope.
Like Raging Bull De Niro or Righteous Kill De Niro? Which De Niro are you talking about?
Yeah. I was thinking like Heat De Niro.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's middle of the career.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not a bad one.
Yeah.
No. You bringing up anything else, Cody? Or are you just staring?
I got distracted by Josh Lucas's career.
Yeah, it sucks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair.
I started
fair,
going through these movies, I was like, oh, man, no, he's not done anything good. If it was a good movie, he was barely in it. Like American Psycho, like, he's barely in it.
Yeah, but he gets killed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like.
So worth it.
Yeah, worth it, you know. Right.
Kind of like that other dipshit when he kills him. I was like, yeah, that's the best movie he's ever been in. Jared Leto, right?
It's not the best movie he's ever been in.
No, a lot of people hate Jared Leto. A lot of people hate Jared Leto.
Yeah, they do. They
Jared Leto's a shit face.
See? He's one of us.
I was being nice when I say that,
too.
I don't understand why people don't like his Joker.
Because it's weird.
It's shitty?
Yeah, see? People at that instant.
Oh, Poseidon. Like, that was the one I saw on there. I was like,
that's the other one. Yeah, he had this moment of time where Josh Lucas was like, he's going to be the next guy. And he did, like, Stealth and Poseidon was fairly close together, right? Like, a few years apart.
Yeah.
He was the main bad guy in Ang Lee's Hulk. Like, you got these big headline movies.
Other than
Ray of Lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He was like the guy trying to like capture him and test him and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So not his father.
Right.
But like the human villain.
Yeah.
Because, you know, human villains versus Hulk has always worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they try to shoot him with that foam gun.
Yeah. The foam gun. Yeah.
And somehow
some Flex Seal.
He outruns ships while running on the side of a canyon and then grabs a rocket. And then the page turns.
Literally, the only watchable part in that movie is the tank scene in the desert where he just goes fucking ham and starts beating up some tanks.
Smashing through tanks.
Yeah. The rest of the movie, dog shit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Especially the dogs part.
Especially the
dogs.
Yeah,
especially the dogs. Yeah, Hulk dogs. Right. The Hulk dogs.
The one poodle.
When what?
Like, you couldn't just make them all Rottweilers?
Weren't
like,
they abomination dogs, though?
I don't know.
Abortion dogs?
Zing. More like abortion.
Not the name of the episode.
Abortion dogs?
Yeah. Abortion dogs.
We're not going to name them.
It's like our... Reservoir Dogs, but bloodier.
But like coat hanger ear.
What? I don't like that.
Egg beater?
Oh, gross.
Is that worse?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
probably crank worse. Thing.
Yeah, mm. Man. How old are you? Crank.
Because the egg beater said the crank.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, fuck Josh Lucas.
Fuck Josh Lucas. Worst part about Stealth, he wasn't in it. Oscar. Yeah.
If you're listening, well,
would have been in it. Oscar, someone would have been in it.
At least a people's choice, at the very least. I don't know about Oscar.
Did people love that movie? Can't remember.
Was he the one in that Sam Jackson movie, the Lakeview Terrace?
No, that was the dude who plays
that was the Warren. Owl.
Yeah.
The owl guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
fuck that guy,
Patrick,
too.
Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, that's another guy I don't like.
I also hate that movie.
But yeah.
That movie's fucking terrible.
I didn't see that.
It's fucking terrible.
It's not good.
I thought he did good in Watchmen. And actually, you know what?
Yeah.
He's good in a lot of things.
But
just
like
not
him.
Everything.
He's just...
But did you guys watch Hard Candy?
Yeah. Oh, I love Hard Candy.
He did fantastic in that movie.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
So did Ellen Page, but...
Yeah, which is hard to say in general, unless it's Inception.
He doesn't like Ellen Page.
I don't like Ellen Page.
Mm. It's because you're racist.
Hates babies. She did that Juno flick.
So. Yeah. Ruined Michael Cera's career.
It was a good movie. I don't know why
I don't like that movie.
Juno? Juno was great.
I don't like that movie.
I'm indifferent on it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It has one line in it. It makes me laugh every time when J.K. Simmons says, next time I see that bleaker kid, I'm going to punch him in the wiener. Every now and then I think about that line. It just makes me giggle. It's one of my favorite lines ever.
I don't got anything else.
We got the cancellation of Iron Fist.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Apparently. If I would have watched it, maybe. Maybe
did
we could have saved
it. The second season?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Oh, I'm so far behind on
the second
stuff.
Season was so good.
Yeah. Was it really?
I like Iron Fist, but
the first four episodes of the first season is pretty bad.
Yeah, the first season was very discombobulated because they didn't know what to do.
Right.
And my to this day, like, I've finished season two and I enjoyed season two way more than I did season one, and I liked season one. My one complaint about it is they never actually made him Iron Fist, because his karate was never more superior than his kung fu was never more superior than anybody else's.
Right.
He kept getting beat up. I'm like, that's not Iron Fist.
Yeah.
If you read the comics, every time he has to literally stop himself from killing motherfuckers with his martial
Iron
arts.
Iron Fist?
But not just the Iron Fist. Yeah, and the thing, too, is they use the Iron Fist in this as like an anchor.
Yeah.
But like... He's literally punching people through walls.
He couldn't beat somebody without it.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, that's not how it is. He's literally a master of kung fu.
Yeah.
He has to lower down what he does to people, not to kill them with simple punches, and before he makes the glowy fist of doom.
Yeah.
Like, he has to literally, like, he's like, oh, nope, can't punch this guy anymore because he's almost pulp. I can't do that. Like, he's like, literally dodging bullets, kicking guns out of people's hands. Like, they don't do that. I mean... Why is he getting beat up by regular Yakuza thugs?
Right.
He should be, like, fighting nine of them and not breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
But they never do it.
No. That bothered me about the first season, too.
Yeah. I was
he
like,
came
why?
Out of Kun Lun like a fucking pussy.
Yeah, I was like...
Right.
He's supposed to be an emotionally stunted...
He was supposed to be the Iron Fist.
Right.
Yeah, he's supposed to be... And he, like...
How the fuck did he beat Davos with, you know, a fucking yellow belt?
It's because he blinded him with this... Oh, spoiler.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, man.
This is actually second season, so...
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm not even started it yet.
Spoiler alert, he blinds him with the sun, and then sucker punches him from behind.
He's all, hey, look up. The sun.
What's that?
I see spots.
They're inside of a room.
What do I feel like I have to
sneeze? And
there's,
like, this
weird
angle through, like, a stained glass window that's slightly open that has casting a beam of light, so it's very drastically
different.
Yeah,
the old vampire trick?
Yeah, he's like, hey, interview the vampire. Here's Kristen Dunst. Burn.
Oh,
take that, you snaggletooth.
Dumb young old bitch.
Dumb young old bitch. Also could be the name of the episode.
Interview with the vampire. Brad Pitt's finest work. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Have you ever seen Cool World?
Oh,
I don't think you have.
Oh,
yes. Right?
Oh. Right? Like that. Right? Have you ever seen that Doritos commercial?
Yeah. From
94 or whatever? No.
But that's the thing that
Joe didn't like that.
Joe hated everything that just happened. I love Cool World because he wants to fuck a cartoon.
Who doesn't?
Who right? doesn't?
Like, he finally gets to. That's like, yeah, oh, come yeah. on. Childhood dream come true.
Yeah, seriously. It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with more tits.
Yeah.
Right.
Fair.
Now Joe's on board. He's like,
he's like, all right.
Oh, you swung it my way.
I mean, who didn't you see lost that me at car Doritos, and be like, you oh, had me I'm going to jam it fucking. In the exhaust pipe, right?
The car? Really, yeah. The car?
The car for Roger Rabbit.
If anything, I thought you were going to say the rabbit.
You want to fuck the car?
No, I don't want to fuck a rabbit. I'm not a furry.
Fuck Jessica but you Rabbit. Wanted.
Fuck a car.
But you wanted to fuck a
yeah,
cartoon car.
Yeah, those wheels, dude. That car was a pog.
It was had the
taxi. Things. You're talking about the taxi, right?
Yeah.
I think it was a dude taxi, wheels? Though.
That was a dude
yeah, taxi. That's why he talked about the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And then you just smack those wheels and slide in.
Yikes.
Yeah. Take it for a spin.
Well, I'm not one to judge, sir, so...
I am.
Fuck a car, I guess.
But a car... No.
Cartoon car.
Not a real car. He's not
a
real
fucking
cyclist. I
wouldn't fuck a real car.
You could burn your dick.
Seriously.
Maybe a motorcycle.
Yeah, am I never trying to get my car. Dick all black? I don't think so.
Because the exhaust.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not anything else.
Yikes. Yeah. I mean, you're the... Like, yikes. Anyhow, I just don't like the fact that, like, they never made him... A badass in karate. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Or no, kung fu. Agreed. And then the Iron Fist, what did he use it? 3 times during the first season?
Dude, yeah.
It's he like, punched hey, a I'm going to let it glow and punch a door.
Yeah. And at least they ramped up the uses of it. And then they took it away from him. Spoiler alert. Yeah. The second season. Yeah. And I'm like, then he didn't have awesome, super for fantastic like kung fu season. To balance out the fact that he didn't have a glowy fist to punch through stuff.
Yeah.
Like, when he first used in that first episode and punched the engine block out of that truck, I was like, fuck yes. He's messing these dudes up, even though they have guns. Mm-hmm. He literally, a speeding truck punches the motor out of it. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then he's a pussy again. I was like,
yeah.
Come the fuck on, guys.
Well, they started the second season really strong.
Yeah. So, in with the new season of Daredevil coming up, do I have to watch anything? To be ready for this, none of that.
Other than the fact that the end of Defenders sets up what's going to happen to
him. I have to finish Defenders.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, Defenders is actually really good.
It was.
Yeah,
Defenders was great.
It started so slow, and I got mad at it. So.
Oh, it does start very slow, but when they
I just stopped it
come together,
like 4 episodes.
It's just there's like the last. I would
that's
say,
the last anything Netflix Marvel I've seen. By the way, no wait, Punisher came out after that, right?
Yes, I
did watch all of Punisher
because it was fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been waiting for like, I mean, and I feel bad because I love the first season of Luke Cage, and I feel like that one just popped up, the season 2 popped up, and then I didn't realize it, and then I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
So I want to watch that one, but I literally didn't finish Defenders, I didn't see season 2 of Jessica Jones, I didn't finish Iron Fist, or even start season 2, and I didn't even start season 2 of Luke Cage. And I was like, oh fuck, all this is out now, and I'm so far behind, I'm just gonna quit.
That's what Mike does.
Yeah. If I get too far behind something, I'm like, well, guess I'm never seeing that.
Yeah.
until years gone by when it's done and everyone like, kind of forgets about it, then he watches it.
Then I'm like, have you guys fucking seen this show?
Like West Wing? Have you seen fucking West Wing?
Yeah, I discovered West Wing way later in life because when it first came out, I was too young to like appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh man, this show's really fucking good.
I've never watched West Wing.
Ah. Yeah. Sir.
Yeah?
You should watch West Wing.
Mm.
The writing?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm. Even Cody agrees, but he's like, I'm not going to watch it.
I saw a lot of West Wing.
But
I watched it when it was on the television.
Who did that?
Oh, yeah. And millions of other people.
Apparently.
Yeah. Not apparently. It's true fact.
False.
That's not nice.
I've never seen it, so don't look at me.
In summation, it sucks that we're not going to get a season 3 of Iron Fist.
Nah, because it does, apparently.
Hold on. Because they did leave off a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
But, also, it just makes me happy because I don't have to worry about it sucking major ass.
Do you think we just get a Heroes for Hire?
Yes, that's where I was going next.
Heroes Hire could definitely happen because of the development they did, and especially the last half of Luke Cage season 2 and all of season 2 of Iron Fist when she is in it.
Yeah. Because
there's a gap where she's not in a bunch of it. But when it's those two together,
yeah.
Oh man, I'm like, oh yeah, this could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. This could definitely happen. This could be like a really good fun time.
Yeah. How was season two of Luke Cage?
It was good, but it fell into that almost the same pattern that Iron Fist did, where like instead of him losing his powers, there's just someone who's slightly better than him. And the only reason he's better than him is because he is a trained hand-to-hand combat fighter, where Luke Cage is a brawler. So like that's, you know, he's got a leg up that way. But the difference is Luke Cage is his ability is permanent, and this guy's ability is drug enabled. So eventually he, you know, spoiler alert, can get past that wall and defeat him. But it is the fighting is weirdly better in Luke Cage season 2 than in Iron Fist in general.
That seems like a
right.
That seems backwards, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, how can you have a guy who literally just wants to punch things have better action fighting scenes than a guy who literally is supposed to be the greatest kung fu master of all time?
Yeah,
but can't defeat a guy.
Yeah,
like that in the episode in season 1 of Iron Fist where the RZA directed it, the one with the, it was the Shaolin Temple episode.
Yeah,
you know, as the different fighters, he should have whooped the shit out of all those dudes with no problem and got to the end like, "What's up?"
Yeah,
instead they're like, "Poisoned early." I was like, if anything, he'd be like, "Oh, that's cool, I'm good," you know, like I'm just not gonna use this shoulder,
right?
But no, he's like, "I got beat up a bunch." I was like, "God, why?"
Yeah, the more you talk about it, the more I realize you really liked it.
I did like it. I wanted to like it.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to like it more.
But it's just they with Daredevil, they found a bunch of people who really know that character and like that character. Mm-hmm. And with everything else, they're like, hey, you should make something out of it. Like, even Jessica Jones doesn't really go towards the character in a proper way, but is still really good. Especially like, if you like really dark superhero stuff, season two is fucking super dark. Did you watch it?
I have not watched season two.
So dark. Yeah. Like, it is
darker than the first season?
Yeah, which is hard to say.
Yeah.
Because that one guy, like, shoves his own hand in a garbage disposal.
Right.
But
that scene in the first season where he's got the whole, police station pointing guns at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so fucking fucked up. Like, the whole time, you're like, oh, my God, are they all going to... Because you're, like, looking around, there's, like, there's not a lot of important characters in this room. Are they all going to die right now?
Yeah. But, yeah, and other than that, it's, I mean, there's... It just... I think they didn't try hard enough, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But that's what I say.
With all that being said, I'm excited about the new Daredevil, though.
Yeah, Daredevil hasn't...
Daredevil is that one where, like, I'm going to come back. I don't know where I'm at with the rest of them, but I'm going to come back for Daredevil, and I'm going to come back for Punisher. They have
three more fucking seasons of that show.
Dang.
Here's the thing that kind of bugs me, because I didn't see the end of Defenders, obviously, so I don't know what events took place, but the one thing that I hate is the whole am I Daredevil, am I not thing, are we a team, are we fighting each other? Like I feel like it's season three, just fucking be Daredevil. Be a full-fledged,
and that's
you're
that's
fully committed. After. You're Daredevil now.
He's it's doing the less third of the
fucking season.
He's doing less of the flashy and more of the gritty.
Since the first season, you only get him in the suit. What, the last episode or the last two episodes or something like that?
Oh, season one,
last episode. Yeah. And then season two, he actually goes away from it for a little bit too.
Yeah,
and like he's contemplating not doing it
because he's doing it so. So much one way versus the other, and he's like, I need to more focus on the lawyer, the
and
law
then
part of it.
I'm seeing, like I said, I don't know what happened in Defenders, but I'm seeing season three, and I'm like, you're fucking not in the suit to start off with again? Like, what the fuck, dude? This is season three. You should just be a badass Daredevil at this point. There should be no wishy-washy, I don't want to do it, or I'll do it, or I like it too much, I'm getting dangerous. Nah, you should be a full-fledged fucking hero now, and just go do your thing. That's why, like, that first half of Defenders, I was like, what the fuck are you, why is this the trope for these group up movies or shows where just be a fucking team and go fight the bad guys? Like, that's why Avengers, I was like, okay, the first Avengers, I was like, all right, they all got to get used to each other. But then in the second Avengers, there's some infighting. I'm like, shouldn't have any more of that now. We should be done with that. Mm-hmm. We should be a fucking team. But with that being said, I still want to see it because the fight sequences in Daredevil.
There's no hallway scene too.
Yeah, and we get Bullseye.
We do get Bullseye.
Mm, Colin Farrell for the win, yo.
Probably going to get Jigsaw, too.
Probably not.
Oh, well. I mean, if they knew.
Jigsaw would be good because they can move him into the Punisher half.
Right, exactly.
And have a really good version, not that shitty Warzone one.
Right.
Don't even get me started on fucking Warzone. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate that goddamn movie. I was so excited. I was like, fuck yeah. Super violent. We're rated R. This is horse shit.
What's his name that played the Punisher?
Fantastic, yes.
But he was the only bright spot of that whole entire movie.
Newman was in it.
Again, he was the only bright spot of that whole entire movie.
But Newman's mom died, man.
Again, he was the only bright spot of that whole entire movie.
You're a dick.
And some of the action sequences and were
It was really some of the action sequences, some brutal. Were that fun. First one where he takes out that whole room.
Yeah, he, in the he's having movie. A little bit too much fun as he's hanging from the chandelier and gunning everybody down, spinning around.
Erection!
What I liked more was actually the was it a hotel that he was fighting through?
That's the end of it, yeah, because that's where they're holed up, is a dilapidated hotel.
He just doesn't give a fuck about anything.
The Hawaiian guy in the elevator is the best scene ever.
What was that?
He kicks him down and says, have a nice, safe trip, and he throws a grenade in as the door shuts. Now you hear, poof, and you hear, poof, everywhere.
Yeah, but no, I liked the part where he shoved the, he like makes a hole in a door and shoves an AR with a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
Then just walks away.
I did really want to see a sequel to Thomas Jane's.
I love Thomas Jane's Punisher.
Like, that movie's not great. But there's so much there where you're like, man.
For me, the only problem with that movie, well, there's two problems with that movie. One, the editing sucked. And two, I did not like John Travolta and his family at all. They were the worst in that whole entire movie.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash was in it,
but Kevin Nash was the Russian, and his arm was all fucked up when he fell down the stairs.
And his
which was fine, head was on backwards. But that's the part that suffers from the editing, because it never fucking, in the actual movie, it never fucking explained how Kevin Nash just showed up at where the Punisher was.
Yeah, he just like,
you find out in the director's cut that they actually kidnap the Punisher's friend, and they interrogate him. Because you know, he had like a bunch of gambling debts and whatnot.
Ben something? What was that guy's
name? Ben Foster.
Ben Foster. Yeah. That guy's low-key fucking
But whatever
good.
Fucking moron just decided, well, we don't need that scene because this is going to be too long for the movie to explain why Kevin Nash shows up.
I don't think I've ever seen the director's cut.
So the difference with the director's cut and the main one is the director's cut, you see the torturing scene and of him being tortured. The regular one, he just shows up beaten up and he says, I'm sorry. But something, they're coming or something like that. And that's when Kevin Nash's character shows up. So you don't get to see them actually torturing him.
Anytime you cut Kevin Nash.
But it takes place after they break into the Punisher's apartment.
Yeah.
And everybody goes down that little elevator thing and hides or whatever.
Yeah.
There's
a part before that where they basically beat it out of him.
Yeah.
And then they, like, where'd they go? And he starts pulling the piercings out.
Yeah.
That's in the regular cut. In the director's cut, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You're confusing two characters, I think.
Well, there's the Punisher scene where he touches the guy with the popsicle, which is hilarious.
Yes, that's awesome.
But his friend never shows up beyond the towards the beginning of the movie. And it's his friend that
oh, that's right.
Never mind. There's a whole other character.
There's a whole other character it was the black guy friend that you meet towards the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So you find out in the director's cut that he actually has a very bad gambling problem. And one of the casinos that he goes to is actually owned by whatever John the Travolta's Saints. Character, the Saints. Yes. Yeah. They nice, find cool, out that man. He's a friend
they're from
Thomas Jane's, of the Punisher. And so they capture him and they interrogate him and they torture him. And then that's how they find out where the Punisher is.
I want to watch that movie.
But in the actual movie that they air, all of that is cut out, and you just have the scene where Travolta's like, well, send in the Russian.
Yeah.
And it cuts to the next scene where the Russian is at
his apartment.
At his apartment. And it's like, makes no goddamn fucking sense.
Right.
And then you have just that scene where the Russian just gets killed, and you're like, that was just shitty.
Yeah, it was a cool sequence, but like, how did he just show up there?
Yeah.
Just picked an apartment by random.
Yeah,
I low-key really liked the part where that guy singing the song too, playing the guitar.
The Johnny Cash wannabe guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why is this?
That was an actual, that was a villain from Punisher. Yeah. Harry Heck, I think it was. Yeah.
See, I don't know anything about the comics watching that at all. I don't think I've ever read before seeing that. I never read a Punisher comic. But then just that scene, I was like, if you'd explain to me that there's a scene where the bad guy sings a song, I'm like, this is fucking dumb. This is stupid. But for some reason in the scene, you're like, well, this guy's low-key fucking creepy.
The sequence was actually really good. And and you have the song part, which was actually played by a real singer. I can't remember his fucking
name. It was a real dude. I can't remember.
And, you know, they came up with the song just for that, which was dope. But then the next sequence where they where they're in that car chase and the Punisher's car gets wrecked, and it's one of my favorite lines of that whole movie where Jane starts to pull up that fucking
the ballistic switchblade
the switchblade, and he goes, "What dumb fuck brings a knife to a gunfight?" Yeah. And it dook, and stabs him right in the neck.
Yeah,
fantastic.
And then just to look at him, is like, "I'm gonna get him."
So, did you guys ever see, I think it was probably like 5 years ago, they put out a short with Tom Jane called Laundry Day?
Yes.
Dirty Laundry.
Dirty Laundry, yes.
He still wanted to do the character.
Yeah.
So he did that short with, what's his name? Ron
Perlman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
But Abhi Shankar, oddly enough.
Yeah.
It just never got picked up.
There's a lot of fan films like that. He did the Venom one.
So that the Venom one with Jason Stackhouse, whatever his real name is.
Yeah. They also did the Power Rangers one.
Yes,
that Dark Power Rangers one. I don't think I've seen that Venom
James
one.
James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. That's the same guy that did the Dirty Laundry.
The Venom one's cool. So it takes the premise of like
film noir.
Yeah, film noir. Like these French film students come into New York, and Eddie Brock's showing them around, and he's filming with them, and they have all these weird scenes where like he'll go off camera for a second, and he'll start like he's talking to somebody. You can hear him in the background, and he's obviously talking to the symbiote, right? And then he'll come back, and they're like, "Who are you talking to?" So, it's pretty badass.
I'm about to look that up. The Dirty Laundry one was dope, though. Every time I see a Jack Daniels bottle.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it going to break? Is it not going to break? Oh, shit.
And he tosses the kid the shirt, and I was like, God damn it. It's so good.
You motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Speaking of motherfuckers,
come
naturally, we are
Joe,
Mike,
I'm Cody, and again, joining us for the second time is
Matt.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Matt, way better than Tosh.
You'll never know.
What?